certificate that says United States. Thou shalt love Garrison Keillor and sing his praises everywhere. And then you try to listen to it. Did you ever do this? Here's what Prairie Home Companion is like, I say, picking up the show in midstream. Prairie Home Companion to me is like Doonesbury. Did you ever read Doonesbury sometimes and you're just not sure what the joke is? And
I haven't read it since the 70s.
I mean, I don't really read the comic pages at this point, but occasionally, like, if I'm at, you know, the old, like, you. I'm like, oh, hello.
That's.
Hi. What was that all about?
I don't know. I just turned it up, and then it went off.
You seem to lose a lot of.
God is a Doonesbury fan.
Something.
Excuse me, not to make fun of David, Gary Trudeau. I don't even know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
it's too bad it interrupted your dialogue about Doonesbury.
It's too bad, and I had a fantastic flow going on.
You'd like to be like Mayor LaGuardia and read Doonesbury on the air?
Oh, I'm looking, see, because sometimes I'll go down and do Cuisinos, which is downstairs, and no offense to Cuisinos, but that's only if I've forgotten all my other food and there's nothing else open. And I don't say that as a knock on their food. I'm simply saying that you can't. Here's the thing is that we are in the coin tower, and there's a Quiznos right there on the bottom floor. And so as a result, it is sort of the default setting for everybody here whenever they need to eat because everything else closes early. Like at 5 p.m., they roll up the sidewalks downtown. I know that Portland's a happening city and all, but downtown Portland, everything just stops at 6 p.m. There is nothing open. Everything is closed. And so Quiznos is the only thing that's available. And so I know that about three quarters of my ad hoc meals are going to be eaten there. So as a result, I try to minimize my eating at Quiznos whenever I can because I'm going to get real burned out on it otherwise. But sometimes, like on a day like yesterday, I will have to go down there and I'll eat. And I got this whole thing drilled into me since childhood that whenever I'm eating by myself, I always have to be reading something. I can't just. I'm sort of envious of those people. Do you ever see these people that, like, they'll be eating by themselves at a restaurant or something, and they're just sort of gazing blankly ahead at a wall, you know, at a wall, staring off into the distance, slack-jawed, breathing through their mouth, sitting there doing a whole lot of nothing? I am not one of those people. I always have to have something reading. So I'll go down to Quiznos, but for some reason, the only page of the newspaper that's ever available, everything else is gone, except for the Oregonian comic page, which no one cares about. And so I'll sit there. This leads to another thought.
No.
Are you ever this guy where you have, especially if you are a reader, as Burgess Meredith would say, you are a reader, a consumer of books, periodicals, and magazines?
I don't think Burgess Meredith is saying anything anymore.
Burgess Meredith is. No, it's not. Why, Helen? Why do you do these things? Do you ever have something tiny to read, like you only have one page from a newspaper, and so you try to ration the words as you're reading? Or like you're on a train trip or something and you're on the last 20 pages of your book, and so you'll make yourself read real slowly. I'll read each sentence twice. I've got to make this Dean Koontz novel last all the way to Baltimore. But I'll read Doonesbury sometimes in the paper, and I'll have to reread it two or three times, and then I sort of look around and I wonder if I'm just the dumb guy in the room that doesn't understand what the joke is. I mean, I know that I sound hopelessly, I don't know, retarded when I say that, but I will read Doonesbury occasionally, and I'm unclear about what it is that's supposed to be funny. And then I figure maybe Doonesbury is sort of like the tennis scoring system, which was designed by the Royals to be purposely frustrating and difficult to understand so that the commoners would not be able to play it. I think that's what Doonesbury is. It's there to separate people with college degrees from myself. That's what it is. If you went to PSU or something, you can read Doonesbury. If you're me, it doesn't make any sense. So it is with Prairie Home Companion, which is what we were talking about at the beginning of the hour. Prairie Home Companion is one of those things that when you're born in the United States, you are obliged to start talking about as though it's the best thing ever. It's like the Huckleberry Finn or something. Not to compare the two, because I'm a big Mark Twain fan. All I'm saying is, I listen to Prairie Home Companion sometimes 5, 10, 15 minutes at a stretch, and it's like you want to like it because sometimes you're out in the middle of nowhere. NPR is the only thing you can get. You've listened to your Van Halen Diver Down CD 15,000 times.
And Bob Hope is dead.
And there's nothing else. And you've sung 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall as many times as you can realistically sing it that day. You tune onto NPR, and always it's Prairie Home Companion, which is interesting to no one. No one. All right. Anywho. It is 5 minutes and 15 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and viso-fueled studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Mine sugar-free. It is piña. Pineapple.
Mine is, I am, we're all such junkies. Look at this. In the space of a day, all of us are now simultaneously holding up and reading the table of contents or the ingredients.
They're
on.
Full of vitamins.
Well, I'm getting ready for bottle number two because this one didn't have any caffeine in it.
Oh, my Viso beverage of choice today is lemon lime strawberry, also known as Vigor. And then with a huge caution thing on the side. All right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Thursday, and thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970 is the phone number for your comments, clarifications, questions, kvetches, 2 cents, and what have you. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, by God, you can do it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is rick@rickemerson.com. In just a moment, we will bring up... Scott, is this our stenographer? Is this mailman Chris? All right, we'll get to him in just a second. What else? I have some other observation I was going to make. Ah, it's gone now. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, mailman Chris, official stenographer and recordist of this very fine radio program. Chris, how are you today?
Good.
Oh, God damn, that was loud. Did anybody else just deafened by his voice just now?
No, my hearing is long gone. Nothing can hurt me at this point.
We could set off a handgun right next to Tim's head. Oh. It'd be like Sylvester Stallone in Copland. You just don't even hear it. Yes. All right. Maybe there's some...
He's below average, actually, on the board.
Only on the board, though.
Only on the board.
How are you on the board? I'm effed on the board!
He's above average in life.
All right. Have you heard my cell phone ring for when anybody from work calls me?
No.
All right. Before we do anything else, let me play that. I'm getting the endless mileage out of just... hold on. Let me see. Let me find somebody from work here. All right. Can you drop the mono badge a second? All right. Let me do this. This is my ringtone for when anybody from work calls.
Put that coffee down.
Where did you light this tray?
Put that coffee down.
You fairy. Can we get some coffee?
Coffee's for closers only. Coffee, A, B, C. Always be closing.
Best ringtone ever. All right. Anywho. Thank you. All right, Chris. We are ready to guarantees and forward promote many items of interest to the target demographic of this radio program. Are you ready to take notes?
I am.
All right. So we are going to... Yes, Sarah?
You're ringing. The Ghostbusters theme is ringing.
I'm not. It's not.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm making it up.
I can hear it over here.
Yeah.
I can hear it this time.
Hello? It's gone now. Is this the party to whom I'm speaking?
Was that Clyde?
That's Clyde. All right, so here's what we're going to get to today. Most disorganized show intro ever.
This is terrible.
This is not the way to convert Cume to Core. All right, so I'm going to promote the following items. Chris, you will make notes at the end of the program. You will come on and let us know which items I have gotten to, which items I have failed to get to, and I will owe a push-up to the Rick Emerson Collective, that is to say Sarah, for each item not attended to. Are you ready, sir?
I am.
All right. How many push-ups am I at currently?
26.
All right. It is National Clown Week. Do we have a clown watch today for that, or are we just going to make the observation?
I believe it's just an observation.
All right, so we will talk a little bit later on about National Clown Week, which I believe started on the 1st, goes all the way through the 7th. Geek Watch coming up today. Penis Watch coming up today. A fantastic story about bees. We've got the Rockstar recap because there was the elimination last night. Peter Carlin will be joining us to feverishly promote and pimp his new book, Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. We will have CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini who will be talking about... Bob Costantini is talking about something which is kind of interest to me and anybody who's ever watched The West Wing, which apparently for like the third time in this administration, they're shoving the press people to some other area. They're kicking them out of wherever they were.
It's a little tiny room.
And every time they move them, because Bush has such open and unconcealed loathing for the press and all that they embody and convey, they're shoving them into an even smaller space. We're going to find out how he feels about that. We have Ninette Sosa, a CNN radio correspondent in Jerusalem, who will be talking to us today about the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah. Also, Matt Lindland will be talking to us a little bit later on, 2 o'clock hour, talking about Sports Fight 17, which is coming up this weekend. And we will endeavor to, this is not going on the list, because I can't say that we're going to get to all 10 of them. But Scotty J has created the 10 songs he most loathes playing as a wedding DJ. Now, here's the thing. I don't know which songs are on the list. Tim has seen the list. I have not. Sarah Dillon and I will be guessing what is on the list And I'm guessing, I'm speculating right now that we're going to be like 80% correct regardless. Yeah. All right, Chris, have you got those things?
I do.
All right.
I have the mention of the National Clown Week, the Geek Watch, the Penis Watch, the Story About Bees, the Rockstar Recap with Peter Carlin, Bob Constantini, Nanette Sosa, Matt Lindland, and if you have time, you'll get to the bonus top 10.
We will definitely, we'll get the part of it. I just can't guarantee that we'll get all of it done.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. We will check in with you at the end of the program to find out how I have endeavored to succeed at that task today.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you. There you go. That's mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program. And joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon, who looks different today because...
I washed my hair.
Because she's bathed.
I bathe every day. I just don't wash my hair
every day. Okay, that's not true, first of all.
Okay, well, maybe
there's
not.
There's one of two possibilities. Either...
I wake up late sometimes.
Yes, either you don't bathe every day, or you do bathe every day and then opt to put on the same clothing you wore the day before. Because I know that occasionally you come in sometimes in the same clothes you wore the previous
day.
That
is not true.
It is completely true because you've confessed it on these airwaves. You have admitted it.
Yeah, like once.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, the long of it doesn't matter. I do it. I mean, it's like, now usually it's just the bicycling clothing. You sometimes, I will wake up late.
All my clothing is bicycling clothing.
And I do, well, see, and I don't. See, I have it. See, I can't do that because I'm a sweater. I'm a whole lot of sweat. And so I can't bicycle to work. In my work clothing, because I was just walk around all squishily for the rest of the day. So, but very occasionally, I do not have time to find new bicycling clothing nor wash the bicycling clothing I have. So I am then obliged to wear the same bicycle clothing, which the problem with that is then I got to stuff it way down in the bottom of that bike bag that I have and seal it. Otherwise, my entire office just smells like the inside of a jock, and that's no good. I think that Vizo is really kicking in. Okay.
Why am I... No, you're the one who has to seal your things in bags, not to stink up everything.
Biohazard bags.
I smell just fine.
You smell like roses.
I do.
It's talcum powder. All right. Yes. You put on talcum powder before you leave the house. Can I ask you that?
Talcum powder?
Here's,
what do you mean?
Like baby powder? Do you, like, you know, like... I don't know, like sometimes, you know, like sometimes women do because it like makes your skin really smooth or whatever, some talcum powder.
No, the only thing I have baby powder for is my hair.
Okay, really? Is that when you don't wash it?
Yeah, no, that's what actually the woman who dyed my hair, she
said. Is that the Febreze of the hair world?
Mailman Chris is here.
What?
I swear to God, I just saw a tank top swaddled mailman.
What the hell is that
Chris.
All about?
I don't know.
All right, well, hold on.
No,
hello, sir. What have you brought us today?
Oh! One for me too?
No, but we can't say anything about, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. You're awesome.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Thank you. Give me a hug. Come here.
Oh, no, we can't. Okay, but we can't.
We can't explain what that is.
All right. Thank you.
How shall we describe this? Mailman Chris has just, I do not advocate or condone the copying of DVDs.
Oh, that's awesome. I know what I'm doing
all
this
right.
afternoon.
Okay, we
now.
Can't, but okay. we can't
We're
talk
not talking
about that. That would be wrong.
We're not talking about
all
it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, whatever. Tim Riley's working on the following story today for your edification.
There's been a quake in the coup. A Washington dentist gets 23 years for stabbing his wife with scissors. Marie Osmond's in the hospital. Was it a cry for help? A suicide attempt? Muslim fun day at an amusement park is canceled due to a lack of
fun
interest.
Day. That's fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. The only reason I was going to ask him that question about the talcum powder is because we were, Sarah and Davey, from Storm in the Balls and I, we were kind of hanging out last night. And there was somebody within the immediate vicinity who smelled very strongly of talcum powder. It was kind of, you know, and not a bad smell. Baby powder's kind of a pleasant smell. But I wondered if it was you. And I thought, no, because that's it. Because you and I work in very close quarters. And you've never, you do not ever have the smell of talcum powder on you. And then I thought, well, it's not me. Is it Davey? And then I started, like, in your head, you're like, well, why would Davey be doused in talcum powder?
I think it might have been Sarah, our cocktail waitress.
Ah, the waitress.
Maybe they meant to put it in their shoes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now get underway with the noon news hour. Tim Riley's at the city desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson noon news hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting.
Is that the worst intro to the program we've ever done just there?
Yes.
This last 14 minutes we spent on nothing.
Those usually are the worst ones because we keep talking and talking, trying to make it better.
What's going on? No, I wasn't trying to make it better. I just don't know when to shut up. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
You shouldn't try to fix things that are already broken.
It's... Here's
That's
Jim
what
Riley.
My grandma used to tell me.
Okay.
She was churning butter on the front porch.
Cursing Aunt Jemima. Okay.
Anyway, did you feel the earthquake this morning? Earthquake
no.
in the coup.
Is it quaking where you are?
It measured a 3.8. There are no reports of damage. How would they know that in the coup?
That 3.8 is only 2554, though.
Now, this is a minor quake. It occurred near the town of La Center. Oh, that's too bad. About 12 miles north of Vancouver.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a damn shame.
Yeah, that's a damn shame.
It's too bad that something would have to happen to all the fine people, businesses, and managers with red curly hair in La Center. That's unfortunate.
Bunch of Nazi war criminals.
Okay. That's Tim Riley who made that assessment, which we all agree with here on the Rick Emerson Show.
Great way to treat our guests.
Can I get back inside? No. But I work here? No. But my name's on the show? No.
Can I use the restroom?
No. It's like Matt Peterson in a dress. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sarah? No. Oh, you were. You don't remember that night very well. That was a bit of fuzziness
Wait,
for you.
All I heard was Matt Peterson
in a dress. You remember when we had...
Was he wearing a dress?
We shouldn't get caught... Let's not get caught up in this too much. But Matt was not... Well, who knows? Who's to say what Matt does when he's not at work? Working in country radio will change, man. No, we've had a few different listener party years ago. We haven't done these in a long time, nor shall we again ever. But there was a time when we were doing listener parties in La Center. And there was a time, and I'm thinking late 2003, when we had a listener party that was...
Unpleasant?
Unpleasant, ill-managed, ill-staffed. Wasn't anything we did. We did our job flawlessly, which is to bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people
30
there.
Miles up the freeway.
30 miles up the freeway.
To patronize them, to spend money in their business.
We warned them in advance. We said, look, hundreds of people are going to be here. And the woman's where this is, I will not name the casino, but there was a business in La Center. And we warned them. We said, look, not to be all about the glory of us, but there's probably going to be a lot of people. They're going to want to drink. You got to be ready for that.
You know, they expect to be sitting around the old Cracker Barrel whittling all night.
And
not used to the crowds coming into their town.
The manager of this particular establishment waved away my concerns. Have you ever had somebody do that? It's like when you're waiting for somebody to move out of their parking space so you can park, and they just sort of give you that, and they wave their hand like, no, go on by. And suddenly you just want to set them on fire and mock their screams for help. This is what the woman did. I said, look, we're probably going to get a few hundred people here, and they're all going to, they like to drink. You're going to want to be ready. Please to be ready now. Do not screw us by being understaffed the night of this listener party here at your establishment in La Center. The woman waved her hand, snorted derisively and dismissively, and said, look, we had the West Coast premiere Buddy Holly cover band here last week. We handled that. I think we can handle your little AM station party. And I said, well,
Nothing little about this radio station.
Yeah,
as we told them before.
And so what happened is like 500 people showed up and they had one barmaid. And I left at one point to go try to calm down the people outside who were unable to get in. The casino wouldn't let me back in, and I'm the one who has his name on the whole thing. They wouldn't let him back in. Matt Peterson walked to the bathroom. They wouldn't let Matt in back into the party. So it pretty much is the single worst night in the history of this radio program.
I mean, their biggest crowd is probably the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Seriously.
Their card night.
National Polydent Support Group. So
Every time I see that exit, I just drive right by it.
If you close your eyes, you can just hear the sound of a lot of old people gumming some shrimp cocktail. So I guess what we're saying is that it'd be far too bad if an earthquake hit that particular part of La Center.
But it did.
Were to kill that particular... Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
A former battleground dentist convicted of stabbing his wife to death with scissors.
What do you need a dentist for in battleground?
I don't know.
It's like four teeth in that whole place.
Well, he's been sentenced to 23 years in prison. He faces 280 months behind bars. They asked for a 30-year sentence. He was in tears, of course, but that was that.
And he stabbed who with what?
His wife with scissors.
There's only two ways to go there. There's either he was just trying to be creative and interesting, or there was just nothing around and she needed stabbing.
He also taught medical law and ethics.
Well, medical law. So there you go. So maybe there's some reason for the scissoring. When I got arrested, the one and only time I've ever been arrested, they actually handcuffed me. I've told the story, but they handcuffed me because even in Washington, it's like the booking system is just so slow and the wheels of justice grind very tediously there. And so they arrested me, and it was like 3 hours. It was in Gibson. time. It was 3 hours between the arrest and the booking, and then it was like 5 hours in the whatever, the, you know, the holding cell, and then I was able to get bailed out. But in the meantime, while I was waiting to be booked, they had me handcuffed to a metal bench next to a woman who had just stabbed her husband with scissors. So scissors are a more common stabbing implement than one might think. They're really in the top, like, 2-3, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Little Red State News from North Dakota, Grand Forks. A crash involved two trucks, 15 dogs, two horses, and paint supplies. Left a big mess, but no serious injuries to two drivers or the animals. A man towing a trailer with the dogs and horses rear-ended a semi loaded with paint and supplies. Paint spilled over the lanes of Interstate 29 all the way through North Dakota. Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
It's Remy in the hot seat today as he had to answer some questions. First, General Abizaid, who is the chief of U.S. command in Iraq, said things are going a little unexpectedly there at the moment.
The sectarian violence is probably as bad as I've seen it in Baghdad in particular, and that if not stopped, it is possible that Iraq could move towards civil war.
Is Iraq embroiled in a civil war? Donald Rumsfeld says things aren't, quote, going as we wish they would be going, unquote. But stress, there are a lot of good things going on. Always look on the bright side of life.
It is not a classic civil war at this stage. It is
not a classic.
A high level of sectarian violence. Yes, it is.
It's not
are
a classic. It's a power.
Killed? Yes. And is it unfortunate? Yes. And is the government doing basically the right things? I think so.
Okay, that's
because they're behind a fortress.
First of all, this cut at the beginning where the guy says that we are moving. He didn't even say that we're moving towards a civil war. He says that we're in danger of thinking about maybe someday moving towards a place that might be on the road to a civil war, which indicates that we're getting, this station runs on a 7-second delay, and I think their news is running on like a 45-day delay. Mm-hmm. Also, you'll notice that Donald Rumsfeld is using a very, it's not old, but it's a thing that's really come into vogue, rhetorically speaking, in the last 8, 9, 10 years. I won't say it's a trick, but it is a rhetorical technique that you first started hearing people doing in press conferences about 10 years ago, which is where you preemptively ask the question you know you're going to be asked, followed by the word yes. And so it's a whole lot of like, did I embezzle millions of dollars? Yes. Did I use that money to fund the murder of my political enemies? Yes. As Gabo says, am I a bad little boy? Yes. But that not with Sam. It's a thing that you do so that it diffuses the argument of the person who comes up after you and says, And Rumsfeld is doing that. I mean, he continues to be a master of spin. So now it's not just dead-enders and insurgents and guerrillas and whatever. Now we have the second cut from him, actually.
Yes, the fact that people are fleeing the country in droves doesn't necessarily mean a civil war is going on.
Clearly, there's sectarian violence. People are being killed. The Sunnis are killing Shia, and Shia are killing Sunnis. It's unfortunate, and they need a reconciliation process. The Prime Minister is pushing for a reconciliation process.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
well, good luck with that.
Senator Clinton challenged the thing that Rumsfeld said today at the Senate hearing.
There's a track record here. This is not 2002, 2003, 2004, 5, when you appeared before this committee and made many comments and presented, many assurances that have frankly proven to be unfulfilled. And
Senator, I don't think that's true. I have never painted a rosy picture. I've been very measured in my words. And you have a Dickens of a time trying to find instances where I've been excessively optimistic. I understand this is tough stuff.
You know that Donald Rumsfeld would feel perfectly fine with punching her full in the face. You know that he would absolutely see that as a fair fight. I think we all would, actually. I think if Hillary Clinton and Donald Rumsfeld stood there and started duking it out, I think that we would all be perfectly okay with that. And then the winner gets a coat made out of puppies.
Say, here's a great idea that's never been tried before. Let's go to Cuba and overthrow their government.
They're asking those in the military in Cuba to take a hold of their own future, to establish a provisional authority with the civil and military members of Cuba who do not want this succession of power. It is to exclude Raul Castro from power in Cuba.
Yeah. Let's try and see how that works.
Yeah, we'll give you air support, we promise.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that is today's Battle Watch.
All right, there's your Battle Watch for We have to break here. We come back. Nanette Sosa from Jerusalem. Later on, Peter Carlin, Bob Costantini, and so forth. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson show. Don't go anywhere.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Why would you dumb Jeff? She's America's sweetheart.
I know. I don't know. I'm
it's all so wrong. See, this is how it starts. We start off by just being concerned about the baby of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, and now we're pontificating about Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. Here's the thing about Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn, to me, seems very much like the characters he plays in the films. He seems like a guy who's got a slick, sort of charming exterior. But inside, it's a cold black heart. He seems very Eddie Haskell-like.
I feel kind of bad for him because he's having to measure up to Brad Pitt. And one of the rumors I read that goes around this is the fact that that they were in bed, and I guess she screamed out Brad Pitt's name.
Where did you read? Never mind. I don't even know. I don't even want to know.
Oh, it's on one of the sites I look at.
I was because in my head, I'm just going to say that was like the New York Times where you read that, and it's a completely confirmed rumor. How would you even know about that? Like, how would that even make
that
it into
a friend of Vince Vaughn's talked to the magazine. So it's a magazine.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The bread! Oh, that's so awkward as to just defy description.
It doesn't seem like he's really the bad guy because I guess his mom is saying that he's in for a world of heartbreak if he...
Maybe she's high maintenance. All right. He is kind of puffy, though. He's kind of got a weird, spongy exterior lately on him.
I know. I still think he's dreamy, though.
Vince Vaughn? Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem sleazy to you? Or is that what you kind of go for? Do you like his
maybe
bad boy exterior?
Yeah,
Nate's
out of town. You can just say whatever you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nate? So is that the thing is you... I don't know. See, you say that I can say anything, but then I'm going to say this, and one of Nate's friends is going to be texting him. Did you hear what Rick Emerson just said about you? And then he's going to come back, and then it's just going to be all frosty again. And which doesn't matter to me. I'm not the one he's going to quit speaking to. So, and then you're going to come in, and it's going to be another day where you're not talking to Nate, and then it's going to be like all kinds of instant messaging back and forth, and then they're going to find Nate weeping in the bathroom at work, and then it's all going to come back on me, and it's just going to end unpleasantly, and I don't have enough energy to deal with the whole thing.
Okay.
All I'm going to say is this. I'm only going to say this, which is that based on our conversation about you and your boyfriend the other day, that not unlike maybe somebody else that we used to know on this program, it does seem like perhaps, you know how it is where sometimes you renovate a house and you repaint it and then you go through and you retile it, and you put in new carpet and you put in ductwork and you fix everything in the kitchen.
Oh, I know.
And then you keep it. Sometimes you just renovate a house and then you sell it. And
you're trouble.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Jerusalem, CNN radio correspondent Nanette Sosa, who joins us now on the...
I want to hear more about your rebuilt house.
All I'm saying... look, let's just say, theoretically speaking, Nanette, and this is just...
I'm sure.
No, this is...
No,
in a completely...
I know your theory, how you think I'm just going to rebuild the house and gut the interior and get everything I want and then decide to sell it because I don't want it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Some, you know what it is? It's just like sometimes you rebuild the house and you realize once the house has been made over... You don't really want to live there anymore. You kind of liked the idea of the fixer-upper. You thought that maybe you had some handyman instincts. You like to fix things. Once the house is all sparkly and new, you say, you know what? I don't want this house that I've recently remade. Maybe I'll go find another fixer-upper and live in that one for 6 months.
And continue this pattern.
And you can still pay for the old one.
And maybe, yes, that exactly. And then watch as somebody new moves into the old house that I've recently remade for their pleasure. So
then you wish you had it again.
And then, yes, and then, and then drive by the old house longingly at night, stopping to sit outside in your car.
I've never done that.
I think that's called stalking at that point.
And then, yes, and then repeat this cycle until you were 65 and an embittered old aunt.
Okay.
I mean, in a wildly hypothetical situation. I'm not in any way saying that. How are things in Jerusalem, Nanette?
Deadly. Not in Jerusalem, more
this
to the north, I should say.
Awkward.
Quite deadly.
This is an awkward transition. Let me stop and try this again. That was a horrible train wreck of a segue right there. Not to diminish this, but it's been going on and on and on, and every so often it looks as though there's going to be some break in all this hideousness. And then, of course, I believe, was it yesterday or today that actually, in terms of Israel anyways, actually the worst day they've had so far over there? Was it today?
Yeah, in one day for deaths. And just yesterday I commented about the one with the most toys wins.
Right.
And Here we have the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah, who went on neatly groomed onto television here, local TV, to say, you know, one of these tit for tats. If you strike Beirut, well, we're going to hit Tel Aviv. So that just goes to show that they might have some big missiles that they can fire, because Tel Aviv is about 80 miles from the border of Israel in the Tel Aviv. Lastly, I was just thinking, that's my airport to get out of Dodge.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, maybe you can take a bus back home. let me ask you this. There's this phrase that they constantly use here where they say diplomatic efforts, and this involved Condoleezza Rice apparently playing the piano for a while, and I think now it just involves sending a lot of Hallmark cards and, you know, so forth, because when they talk about trying to use, quote, diplomatic means to defuse the Israel-Hezbollah crisis, because it does seem like that we are really in a situation that is irresistible force, immovable object, whereas these are just two guys who have been tied together at the wrist in a knife fight. And it seems like the best we can do in a sort of overarching sense is ask them to just take a timeout every now and again, right? I mean, not to sound cynical, but there is going to be nothing we can offer either side to assuage them.
Well, I think the diplomatic means that we have politicians that need to stop at the men's warehouse, buy a suit, and get groomed before they have their next meeting, before they make a decision, if they make one at all. So they're kind of stalling in that end of, well, you go first and we're going to wait. But that's, they're just being diplomatic. But this is the seventh time Israel has gone to war since 1948. You talk to the locals around here, I mean, they're still selling their croissants and grape leaves and everything else. To them, it's just like, oh, it's just another war. Tourism down just a few shekels, and it's just accepted.
So the official Israeli line on this is, what can you do?
Seven times since 1948. Oh, just a few bombs.
And I think that everybody, I mean, you've, on the one hand, you've got Israel, which, as we were talking about yesterday, has a very zero-tolerance policy on this. On the other hand, you've got Hezbollah, which is classed as a terrorist organization, who clearly are not going to be reasoned with in any rational sense. So, you know,
I was thinking about this once, talking to a bunch of people, because I always think of situations or stories or whatever. I think about money for some reason. Somebody kills somebody, it could be for insurance, or, you know, what's the real situation here?
Right.
And then I thought, somebody commented to me today that where those rockets are landing, a little bit north of Haifa, along the coast, lots of oil under there. That's a story you haven't seen yet. So we'll see in a couple of weeks if that, in fact, just because, you know, comes to fruition, that maybe there's an underlying theme here in oil.
You are ahead of the curve on this whole thing.
I just think too hard.
You are on the... Well, that's why you fit in perfectly on this program, my friend. All right, Nanette Sosa.
I wanted to say about the Brad Pitt, though.
Oh, please do.
Maybe Jennifer Aniston was telling him he had a rad pit. We got a rad armpit there, Vince Vaughn.
Sources point to no.
Not
on that
lie,
one.
Huh?
Oh, I mean, look, but here's the thing. I'm just strictly from a male point of view. I'm just saying for me.
Not cool.
Here's why I'm guessing that that's. Now, Sarah, is the claim that they've broken up?
That he broke up with her.
Okay, I was going to say, because if that happened, there's no going back from that. There is no, especially if it was at a moment of some sort of intimacy. There's no, look, because I have told a story where I did that once with someone else long time ago. And it was not during a moment of any sort of intensity. It was literally just kind of... To be fair, it was in bed, but in bed. It was just a lot of, like, you know, just there. There was nothing happening.
I've had that happen to me.
And I ever so...
It just opened my eyes.
It was a very innocent moment, because we weren't doing anything. We were just sitting side by side in bed, and I was just sort of, you know, whatever, reading the New Yorker or whatever dumb thing I was doing.
That's almost worse, though, if you guys are just kind of casually hanging out in bed.
Very casually. I was like, so, you know, do you want to go get some lunch or whatever? And then I said, so, blank, and I said her roommate's name.
Oh.
And I mean, it's not like it's just another woman. It's like a woman who lives about 30 feet away. And yeah, that was the beginning of the end right there.
That was the beginning of the end?
That was like that hole in the side of the Titanic. It was a mathematical certainty from that point that things were going to go down. So,
oh,
Yeah, so there you go. So as always,
not good.
As always, I'm the benchmark and gold standard for personal faux pas. Nanette Souza, be safe. We'll talk to you soon, sister.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Nanette Souza in Jerusalem.
She sounds like she's having a good time over there.
Okay, where has she been all my life? Really, I mean, is she, do we know anything about her? And again, I don't mean this in a stalkery way.
Sure
I don't mean this in a renovating her kind of way.
You mean in her official bio?
I'm just saying she's...
Do you want me to find her bio again?
Well, I'm sure somebody will send it to me. I'm just saying somebody is, she's really great. Why, I'm, no disrespect to anybody else, I'm just saying, you know, she sounds like she should be on the A-team. You know,
she's personable and intelligent.
I wonder what the deal is. Is she like a backup person or is she normally work? We gotta ask her that tomorrow. If she normally works at some other place, it's CNN, and she really is just sort of filling in there. I don't think I've ever seen her on television. Have you?
No.
She seems too good to not, you know, she seems too good to just be sort of, you know, a part-timer over there. All right. We have a few questions for Sarah here. Rick, my boyfriend took the car this morning without telling me. I got caught riding my bike to downtown in a skirt and my thong, says this woman. Question for Sarah, says this woman. Does Sarah prefer wearing more comfortable underwear for bike riding? What I was wearing is not the answer. Also, my butt hurts. April.
I always wear leggings underneath my skirt for that reason.
Just for that reason.
For the gym rope reason.
Yes.
Or I don't want someone pedaling behind me.
Okay.
Getting a little show.
Okay. Rick, about Garrison Keillor, in addition to what you said about Prairie Home Companion, I would like to point out that Garrison Keillor's voice sounds like a drunk with Down syndrome. Or perhaps Tom Brokaw with cotton balls in his mouth. Or Larry Flint on a really good day. It's completely true.
It sounds like he's hyperventilating with a mouthful of spit.
You know who else always had a mouthful of spit? That is a thing. Sometimes you hear people, it sounds like they forget to swallow their saliva. Mm-hmm. Like it just sort of builds up. Alfred Hitchcock was that way. You know who was the very worst about that? Was Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan, who was at one point in the mid-90s, when apparently anybody with a pulse could get a talk show, Michael Reagan was... Do you realize at one point Michael Reagan was on something like 350 affiliates? That's like the seventh seal of the apocalypse being broken.
That's
right
more than you.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much. Let's point that out over and over again all day. That's right between, like, boils and locusts. But he would come on and I used to be able to do, because I can do Bruce Williams' intro, as you know. Mm-hmm. But I used to be able to do Michael Reagan's intro, too. A truly terrible program. I mean, a completely awful talk radio program. But Michael Reagan's thing was like, God, I forget what it was. Michael Reagan here, you are there. Yeah, that was his whole thing, was Michael Reagan here, you are there. And he would say, this is where we talk about your issues, get your comments and questions about all that's going across this great land. We call it USA. But it was like hearing somebody talk to you from inside a swamp of some kind. It was as though he had overactive salivary glands and no throat with which to dispatch of the saliva. Here is a text from anybody we care about.
Oh, from my friend Kiki.
All right.
It's ladies' night tonight.
Oh. It's ladies' night.
The boyfriend's out of town.
Is every night when Nate's gone ladies' night?
I'm going to have a fun weekend.
All right. Is this why you were able to go out with me and Davey last night? Would that have happened if Nate was here?
No, but Nate was a little intimidated by Davey, I think.
Davey has played for 250,000 people.
Yes.
Wow.
Davey sleeps with Storm Large.
Davey sleeps with Storm Large, played for 250,000 people, was in Everclear. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, this morning when I was taking him to the airport.
I can't imagine why that seeds for insecurity.
When I was taking Nate to the airport, he's like, so... Are you going to hang out with Davey this weekend when I'm gone?
Oh, was it said with that inflection, too?
It totally was. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, oh, okay. He sounded a little downtrodden.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to.
Have fun in Florida. All right. Have fun several time zones and 1,015 miles away. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, here's some horrible news. AOL's laying off 5,000 workers. They say it won't affect service. What could possibly affect service in AOL? Was it a cry for help? Marie Osmond in the hospital following what they say is a bad reaction to medication.
Suicide.
Denying reports that she attempted suicide.
Yes.
Her publicist, Amy Fox, said the 1970s star, that must make her feel horrible to be referred to in that
What was she referred to as?
A 1970s star.
Uh-huh.
Spent several days in the hospital after the incident, but is now doing fine.
Okay.
She's vacationing with family.
Vacationing with family. She's recovering at Dacha in Countryside. Mm-hmm.
The National Enquirer reports that Osmond's in the hospital as a result of a failed suicide attempt.
This couldn't possibly be related to her freaky slut daughters, could it?
It could be.
She found fame in the 1970s and is best known for recording Paper Roses in 1973. Nothing has happened in her career ever since,
since then. She has just sat in a small tool shed outside the family home, staring blankly at her feet. Rick says, this is from Gay Bob. I've seen the pictures of Brad Pitt. There is absolutely no reason for anyone to ever scream out his name under any circumstances, unless your previous experiences were limited to stud field mice. I don't know what kind of photos we're talking about here, but I'll just sort of take your word for that, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Britain's biggest theme park is called off the first annual National Muslim Fun Day due to a lack of interest. Apparently, it was going to be open to Muslims. Their food, their strict dress code, and prayer areas, music, gambling, and alcohol would have been banned for the day. And theme rides such as Rickshaw, Corkscrew, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory will all be segregated according to sex.
The bar must be so low for having fun when you're a Muslim. I can't even imagine how little you have to do, really, to stray outside the lines there.
Mm-hmm. But the park and the event's organizers, Islamic Leisure, who rented the park for the day, said they are calling it off due to an insufficient ticket sale.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
Britain has 1.7 million Muslims. None know how to have fun. Time for the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Thursday.
High-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
The best part there is how when he says ship, you can hear him slamming his pen down on the table.
Oh. Well, here's one less push-up to do, due to the fact that we're doing this now. Dateline Los Angeles, Helena Bonham Carter has signed on to play the fanatical evil Lord Voldemort.
Lord Voldemort.
Voldemort. Bellatrix Lestrange. No, this is a long line of almost impossible to pronounce names. Should I take this over and over again one
more time? Lord Voldemort is sort of an upscale, he's sort of an upscale Death Eater. He's got, he wears a lot of corduroy and elbow patches and has a pipe.
Let's try this one more time. The evil Lord Voldemort devotee Bellatrix Lestrange in the next Harry Potter film. The Oscar nominee joins incoming composer Nicholas Hooper, who will create the score for Harry Potter and The Order of the Phoenix, the film adaptation of J.K. Rowling's book.
I believe Order of the Phoenix, by the way, to be the best of all the Harry Potter novels so far. Half-Blood Prince was great.
Is that the fifth one?
Yeah.
Yes, that's my favorite, too.
And Half-Blood Prince was great, had some great scenes in it, like that scene where they're floating across, they're boating across the river, and there's all the death and the dying and the hey, you got to drink this. But Order of the Phoenix is probably the best of the books so far, and I'm hoping that the book seven will better it.
Do we know when book seven's coming out?
I don't think so. It's not this year, I would imagine. I think it's in March. Somebody told me March of 07, maybe. But Bellatrix Lestrange is, Lucius Malfoy's sister, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, she's a bad...
And she is the sister-in-law of,
Bellatrix, she swore her loyalty to Voldemort, didn't she?
Yes, with the...
We are such nerds.
No, the Unbreakable Oath. And isn't she, what's his name, sister-in-law? Isn't she Sirius Black's sister-in-law? I swear to God, I'm going to say this, and somebody's going to send me a Harry Potter family tree. So there you go. So this is both good and bad. That A, it's bad...
Where did she work? Did she work in the Ministry of...
No, because she's... No, because she was a Death Eater, wasn't she? Hello there.
Oh, my God.
I got me a wife. I can say that I already captured a poor sod of a woman. I can talk about Harry Potter all I want. All right. See, it is a double-edged sword here, because for every moment that I open my mouth and talk about Harry Potter, women find me less and less attractive. You, though, every time you open your mouth and talk about Harry Potter, every time you open your mouth and mention a video game, guys just find you hotter and hotter and hotter.
Oh, not with Harry Potter.
It's true. Look at the phones. Look at that. Everybody knows. I'm telling you right now, and Aaron will back me up on this. Any woman who is even reasonably attractive, you know, all of her limbs, no visible scars, she starts talking about Harry Potter, man, the tote board goes way up. It's absolutely true. Or Star Wars. You ought to start doing that. Just work in like a few star. You don't even have to know what you're talking about. Just toss in a Star Wars reference every now and again in a conversation with a listener just to see their eyes sort of sparkle.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just throw in a little like
one of those. These aren't the drones you're looking for.
Droids. That or let's see what else.
I don't know Star Wars.
No, you can.
I know Star Trek.
No, here, do this. Okay, do this. The next time you're
chug a lug, Tim.
Tim is chugging his Viso. It's so good. No, the next time you're at a bar, or the next time you're at the, you know, you're out somewhere, and there's, you know, you're like you're at Zabala's or Dante's or something. If you're talking to a listener, just look around the room with like a sort of boy, look at all these freaks kind of look and go, boy, man, is this Mos Eisley or what? Ha! And then just...
What does that mean?
That's Mos Eisley is where there's that cantina where there's the band playing the song and there's all the weird creatures in the bar. Yeah, before Obi-Wan says, you know, before Obi-Wan cuts the guy's arm off and I don't like you either. That... Never mind. Hello. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Ryan. Ryan, hello, and how are you today, sir?
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Please now to be clarifying Harry Potter for us.
Yeah, Bellatrix Lestrange is actually not Sirius's in-law. She is his cousin, and she is Lucius Malfoy's in-law. She's married.
Ah, okay.
And she was married to a guy named Lestrange, but Draco Malfoy's mom is her sister.
So she is Narcissus Malfoy's sister.
Right.
Or Narcissa. Is her name, I believe.
Yeah. They're all related because all the pure-blooded families are related.
Right, and she is Sirius's cousin.
Right.
All right, okay, all right, excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, sir.
It's very nice to talk to somebody about Harry Potter. I don't have anybody else to talk to about it. Don't know any
other. Oh! I am alone in this world.
Yeah.
I wander through life a solitary figure covered in a cloak of oppression. Is that true? Do you not have friends who read the Harry Potter books?
No, I've got nephews that I'm trying to get to read them, but they're just not into it.
Children, my only companions.
I try to get my friends to read it, and they all.
You know,
think
but
it's
here's
stupid.
The thing. I know that I'm a geek and a dork and whatever, but even if you are not, you know, there is a whole anti-Harry Potter backlash that annoys me and irritates me. Because you know this to be true, Ryan, and you know this to be true, Sarah, that the people who carp and moan and bitch and complain and make fun of Harry Potter, you know that those are people who have never picked up a Harry Potter book. They've never read it. They have no knowledge of it at all. And you know what? As I said a couple weeks ago when we were talking to Court and Fatboy about this, I think there's something pretty damn cool about kids standing in line at midnight to read an 800-page book. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so those, you know, here's
the... those people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they're dead to us, Ryan. We gotta stick together.
I believe the last book is coming out in 2008 is what I heard.
No!
Oh, really? So she's on a Sopranos timeline, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, thank you, Ryan.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
So when does the next movie come out?
So sad. I'm trying to get children to share my interests because adults have shunned me my whole life. I'm so alone. I'm sorry?
Oh! Remember we booked Costantini at 1, so we've got a break.
Yes.
What's he talking about?
We're talking to him. Bush is moving the press corps into an even smaller and ill-fitting room. It's like the fourth time that he's done that because he openly despises them. So we'll talk to him about that. Peter Carlin's going to talk to us at 1:30 about he's got a reading happening tonight, actually, somewhere from Catch a Wave, which is a book about Brian Wilson. Later in the 2 o'clock hour, 2:30, we'll talk to Matt Lindland about Sport Fight 17, which is happening this weekend at the Rose Garden. We've got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We'll do Rockstar Recap and so forth. Do we have to break here then?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we are going to break. We come back, we'll talk to Steve, more of your emails, et cetera, so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.